Well, good morning, everyone. I'll invite the folks in the Fellowship Hall in Northex to make your way in. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. And we thank God for you. We thank God for all of you godly women among us. We do have a little bit of a gift for all you ladies out in the Northex, so we invite you to grab that on your way out. Want to remind you too, ladies, if you're planning on doing the women's study, we still have some books in the Northex. You can grab that. For you moms who are here, we usually have a children's sermon sheet, some notes and some ways for the kids to get something out of the sermon in addition to just what they're hearing. So that's on the table with the bulletins as well. Crayons out there for the kids to color along on the sheets. That's always an activity that we have. Other announcements, we're leading worship today at the New Haven Care Center at 2:30. We invite you to join us in that if you desire and have that opening in your schedule. We'll have a session meeting this coming Thursday. Not yet decided on what the location of that will be. So if you have anything you'd like for us to discuss, let us know. If you would like to attend, please let us know that in advance if you can, and that'll determine whether we meet here at the church or perhaps somewhere a little bit more convenient. And then Ladies Fellowship a week from Wednesday? Yeah, 10 days from now. Any other announcements? Okay, well, let's encourage one another with this series of announcements that we have in the front of our bulletin, and that is that Christ has come.
Christ has come.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is coming again.
Christ is coming again.
Hallelujah. What a Savior. And given today's sermon passage, we may need to add another line in there. Christ is ascended. He has returned to the right hand of his Father in heaven. And we will be encouraged from Scripture how that is reason for great joy and great reason also to worship him. So prepare your hearts to worship the risen and ascended Jesus. And also, especially today, but not just today, you all know, I think every one of us is in agreement that we love having children with us in worship. And so, moms especially, we love having you be with your children in worship with us. Feel free, we can put up with a little bit of noise, a little bit of fussing. Kids walking in the aisle, I love to see that. The sound of children in a sanctuary should be a joyful noise to every one of us. It certainly is to the Lord, and we thank God for your children. But moms, you do what you want. If it's easier and less stressful for you to be out with your child, that's fine. If you'd like to be with your children here, that's fine. Husbands, fathers, please, especially today, how can you help care for that child to give your wife a bit of a break and a little more time in worship? So know that you guys always have complete freedom for the young ones to be here with us, coming and going, whatever y'all need to do, we welcome. And that's all part of us fulfilling that vow that we make when children are baptized, that we will assist these parents in the Christian nurture of their children to the best of our ability. And I thank you that we are a congregation that does not turn that head and give the evil eye whenever we hear a child be a little bit fussy. Because let's admit it, we can be fussy too, can't we? Be reminded again of the glory of God and the glory of your salvation and the glory of the resurrected and ascended Jesus. Our call to worship today from Ephesians 1. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's stand and give praise to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and especially to the Lord Jesus this morning.
Jesus, take the blade, just cross three.
Lord God, that's what we do. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we adore you. We praise you. We worship you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us as the glorious one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, worthy of our praise. Lord God, meet us here again this day. We know that you are with us already. You are present with us always. Lord, capture our hearts and our minds. Fill us with the visions of heaven so that we might see you, Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. We should pray that prayer every day, that the Lord would give us those visions of himself, glorious visions of heaven, him seated in the heavens, in the throne room. If we prayed that, and if we saw him in that way more often, perhaps we would sin less often. But oftentimes our minds, our eyes are not lifted up upon him, but instead are focused on the things of this world, the things of the flesh. And we find ourselves falling into sin, even seeking after it wholeheartedly. But the gospel of Jesus tells us that this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. And so being reminded and worshiping him for it, let's confess our sins and repent of them and pray that the Lord would lead us by his Holy Spirit into renewed obedience and holiness. Join with me. Our great God and Father, you have called us your people, but we often act as strangers. You have adopted us, but all too often we have lived like rebellious children. You seek to lead us, but instead we often pursue our desires over yours. Father, we pray that you would forgive our sins by the grace offered to us through Jesus Christ. Continue to heal us, Lord, we pray. Renew our minds and change our hearts so that, directed by your word and your spirit, we would rejoice to turn from our ways and seek your face and your will for our lives. Do this, Lord, for our good and your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who heals us. Now let's continue to repent of our sins. Lord God, thank you that you are the God who hears our cries and who comforts us and who welcomes us into your presence. Thank you for doing that in Christ. being reminded of that gospel that has saved us from Hebrews 10. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Let's stand again and praise him. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God of grace, the God of mercy. We thank you that you make it possible for repentant sinners to be reconciled to yourself and to be received into your presence. Lord, it seems like sooner rather than later, you may be receiving into your presence. Lord Jesus, if you don't return first, each one of us, Lord, help us to prepare well to say goodbye to those we love. We remember that although we may say goodbye to them, for those who die in faith, they will very soon say hello to you, be greeted by you in heaven, received into your presence, where they, where we, will receive an amazing thing, not condemnation because of the wrong that we have done, but instead you have promised that you will give a reward for us. And we recognize that any reward we might receive from you will not be because of our merit, but only because of the merit, the reward that Christ deserves and that Christ has won for himself and for all those whom he has redeemed. We thank you that you are this God who delights, who intends to receive us into your presence with joy. But Lord, as we lose those whom we love, we lose them mixed in no small part with sorrow. So comfort those who grieve over those who have been lost to them, to us, or those who soon may be lost to us. Help us to grieve with those who grieve and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And on Mother's Day, there is that mixture again there, isn't there? Rejoicing over the joys of motherhood, over the joys of being loved well by mothers, by women. But Lord, also for many of us, a mixture of love that and lives that don't taste so sweet, memories that aren't so sweet, experiences that are mixed with no small amounts of sorrow. We thank you, Jesus, that you are turning back all the effects of the fall. Because of sin and death entering into the world, because of the rebellion of our first parents, you have said that there will be pain in childbirth. As I understand that, that just isn't a physical pain that mothers experience, but there is an ongoing pain that occurs in the heart of mothers for the lifetime of a child. Us fathers, we know that pain, that mixture as well. And even as children, we have experienced that pain of human existence. We pray that you would comfort us in those sorrows, in those pains. Deliver us as much as you say is your good will in this lifetime. And give us faith to trust that all of those tears will one day be redeemed. Every one of them. You will wipe away the tears. As a friend of mine says, you will also wipe away every reason behind any and every tear. Do that for us and use us to also do that for brothers and sisters in Christ and for others who are dear to us. We think of brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping you in Sweden, in Chile, in Cyprus, North Africa, the Middle East, around the world. Lord, continue to reveal yourself to people of every tribe, nation, and tongue, and race, and hear our praises mixed in with theirs. Grant traveling mercies, and give special joy on this Mother's Day, to those mothers among us. Lord, we continue to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now let's take a few minutes and greet one another in the name of the Lord.
several of the Joyce children. Ruthie Ann was in six members of the Joyce family. Recently were received into membership. And this is our first opportunity for them to come before the congregation and to make their vows, their profession of faith publicly. So we'll invite you guys to come. Did I see you? And Grandfather Bob will be praying for them afterwards. Ruthie today, Bob's grandfather. That can be worse than to have Bob Gordes be grandfather. He's certainly a father in the faith to us all. Lily is going to be coming. You know, how about if we do this? Why don't you guys take a seat? Let's go ahead and collect offering right now, if that's okay. And encouraged to do so today from Acts 20:35. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Worship the Lord and giving him the glory he deserves as we sing the doxology. So we have with us today Walter, Wesley, Owen, Lily, Maeve, Delaney, Ruthie, who were received into membership in the last month or so, right around Easter. I think Easter may have been the first time that they had opportunity to partake of communion. So they've already met with members of the session, have been received into membership, but we also want to give them this opportunity to make a public profession of faith. So I ask you, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure, if it were and without hope if it were not for his sovereign mercy? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for your salvation as he's offered up in the gospel? Do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will seek to live in a way appropriate for following Jesus? And do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? And do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study and apply yourself to its peace and purity? Father, would you please give thanks and ask God for this.
Dear Heavenly Father, this is really a joyous time for our family, for our church. We just pray, Lord God, that you would guide them and to look forward to the wonders of heaven, the wonders of your grace, and that you would help them to turn to the good and to lead us to Christ.
I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Also want to remind any parents, we do have children's sermon notes out there in the narthex if you'd like to grab that for your kids. Well, it's taken a while, but we've made it. We're finally here. Today is going to be the last sermon, at least for a while, from the book of Luke. I looked back and I saw that we actually began our series, our preaching series through the Gospel of Luke in November, not of 2024, not of 2023, but November of 2022. 3.5 years ago, which we understand is actually longer than Christ's earthly ministry. We spent these last 3 years looking intently at those 3 years of Christ's earthly ministry, as well as the first two chapters of Luke's gospel, which predate that. And you know, we're all here today in no small part because of those 3 years. Those 3 years of Christ's earthly ministry. And not just us, but for some 2,000 years now, the church has gathered together because of Christ's earthly ministry. We gather together every Lord's Day because of those 3 years of his ministry. Like the early disciples that we read about in our passage today and that we have been these last years, we've come to know the joy that comes because Jesus has given his life as a substitute for ours on the cross. And we know the joy that comes from hearing the remarkable news that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And I pray that today we'll know the joy that comes also from knowing that he's ascended back to the Father and that he's there right now at the Father's right hand. You know, I think we've got a pretty good handle on the significance of the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. But I don't know if we have a real full appreciation of the ascension of Jesus. It's my hope that after today we'll see that the ascension of Jesus is yet another reason for the Christian to have great joy, and yet another reason for us to worship Christ continually, giving glory to Christ. Our primary sermon passage today will be the last four verses of the Gospel of Luke. It's still the day of Christ's resurrection. Jesus has appeared to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. Those two disciples then return to Jerusalem with great joy to tell their friends this great news that they've met Jesus on the road, that he's alive, he's appeared to them. They return to where the other disciples were gathered, and when they do, they learn that Christ has also appeared to others of that number of disciples. And then in the passage that we looked at last week, Jesus then, after they return, Jesus then appears to them all right there as they're gathered together in that room. And his presence among them as the resurrected Jesus in Luke 24:41, Luke tells us, gave them great joy. Jesus explains to them why it was necessary for him to suffer and to die and then be raised again from the dead on the third day. Then Christ gives them the Great Commission, telling them that they have been witnesses of all of these things and that they're to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the nations. And I would suggest that that same commission has landed upon you and I as well, that we are to preach the gospel of repentance, the gospel of forgiveness of sins to all people whom the Lord may bring us into relationship with. Then in verse 49 of chapter 24, Christ explains that they will soon receive the power of the Holy Spirit to help them, and that same Spirit helps us in that mission. We understand from this same gospel writer, Luke, he's also the author of the book of Acts. Luke tells us in Acts 1 that Christ then continued to live with and to teach this group of disciples for the next 40 days. Luke then concludes his gospel with the description of what happened after those 40 days, this passage that we look at today. When beginning in verse 50 of Luke 24, Luke writes and says, "And he, Christ, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." Pray with me again, please. Lord, we thank you. We praise you that Jesus, you went to the cross for us. We praise you. We thank you for the perfect, sinless life that you led prior to that, in which you perfectly fulfilled the law of God in our place. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the resurrection. Christ, for your victory over the grave. The victory over the grave, the resurrection, is reason for great joy. And Lord, we read in our passage today that the ascension also should be reason to us for great joy. Lord, help us to understand the reasons behind that. And Lord, may that understanding lead us into great joy and great and continual worship of you. Amen. Well, again, as I referenced, I think that the doctrine of the ascension is a neglected doctrine. And we neglect that to our detriment. Let's note some things that Luke tells us about Christ's ascension. First, notice that Luke insists in both his gospel as well as his account of Christ's ascension in Acts 1 that this is a true bodily ascension. This isn't a symbolic or what we might consider as a spiritual ascension. But Luke tells us that the true physical body of Jesus was lifted up into heaven. And it's there today. At this very moment, the physical body of Jesus Christ is in the presence of the Father in heaven. And we'll talk a little later about some of the significance of that. But for now, let's just recognize that the ascension of Jesus is a true physical ascension of the body of Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's recognize that the ascension didn't happen right away. Christ wasn't immediately raised up into heaven after his resurrection. And why not? Why might be some reasons for that. Well, first, think about it. You know, if Christ would have been ascended up into heaven on Easter morning, that would have made it easier to deny his resurrection. There would have been fewer opportunities for Jesus to show himself as being raised from the dead. In Acts 1:3, Luke says that Jesus presented himself alive to the disciples by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, Paul says that Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. The ascension of Jesus was delayed, at least in part, to confirm that he had indeed been raised from the dead. The ascension of Jesus was delayed these 40 days also so that Jesus could provide more teaching to the disciples. Luke says that during this time, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the kingdom of God. Jesus needed to speak to the disciples, explain a great many things still to the disciples. And he did that during those 40 days. He had to help them understand more about his teachings, about his suffering, about the resurrection. And yeah, he also had to teach them about his impending ascension and the significance of that and his heavenly rule. Think about this also. If Jesus would have ascended immediately after his resurrection, some of the last images of him, the last memories that his disciples would have had, would have been images and memories of things that would have looked like defeat. It would have been images like his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane and his arrest and of him being beaten. Images of him being forsaken by the Father on the cross. Images of him being crushed by the Father. Images that would have looked like weakness and defeat and death. But because Jesus was able to show himself to them for those 40 days, he was able to show himself to them in victory and in glory. It was during those 40 days that he could assuage Thomas's doubts. It was during those 40 days that he could lovingly restore Peter to himself following Peter's previous denial of him. But now, what's the last image that the disciples have of their beloved Jesus? It's him raising his hands to them, giving them a blessing, affirming that the blessing of the Father that rests upon him now rests upon them. And beloved of God, that blessing of the Father now also rests upon you, if you are resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Then Jesus, after he raises his hand and blesses them, he's lifted up before them, and he ascends into the heavens. He ascends into a cloud. And don't miss the significance of Jesus being raised into a cloud. Luke makes reference of that in Acts 1. What does a cloud represent? Well, remember, it was a cloud that appeared at Mount Sinai. It was a cloud that would go out in front of the people of God in the wilderness to lead them to where the Lord wanted them to go. And it was a cloud that would stop and would descend upon the tabernacle, indicated that the Lord wanted them to stay in one particular place. It was a cloud that appeared over the Mount of Transfiguration, out of which a voice proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." All throughout the Bible, a cloud demonstrated the presence of God. And the disciples understood, and we can too, that when Jesus was lifted up into a cloud, the incarnate Christ was lifted up into the very presence of God the Father. But why? Why was Jesus lifted up and received into heaven? Again, let's continue to consider some reasons. First, Jesus was ascended up into heaven to demonstrate that his work of redemption was complete. The ascension of Jesus demonstrated that the sacrifice of Jesus was acceptable to the Father. Hebrews 1:3, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In Hebrews 10:12, when Christ had offered up for all time a single sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God. And this notion of Jesus sitting down has two connotations. One is that his work of redemption is complete. We remember he said on the cross, "It is finished." And then the second aspect of that, his sitting down also refers to his enthronement as the King of Heaven. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. The ascension of Jesus marks Christ's return to the Father. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus has said that he had come from the Father and that he would return to the Father. And he did that in his ascension. The ascension marks Christ's return to the Father. The ascension also marks the exaltation of God the Son once again. Scripture tells us that in the incarnation, the Son of God humbled himself. Philippians 2, although he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held onto, but instead he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The Catechism speaks of what we call the humiliation of Christ. Question 27, what did Christ's humiliation consist of? Answer, Christ's humiliation consists in his being born, and that in a low condition to poor parents, made under the law, the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in his being buried and being made to be under the power of death for a time. That was the humiliation of Christ. But in his ascension back to the Father, Christ is exalted again. John 17:1-4, Jesus prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." God the Son is in heaven, exalted again, receiving the praise of the saints and the angels. But also in another sense, the glory that Christ now possesses in heaven is a new glory. It's a glory that's not been known before. As one has said, his glory was known previously by the Son of God. But this glory that he now possesses is a glory never known previously by the Son of Man. The glory that Jesus now receives is a glory never previously experienced by the God-man, Jesus Christ. The ascension also marks Jesus' inauguration as the ascended King. It marks his inauguration as the high King of heaven. You know, in some theological tradition, Jesus doesn't yet reign. Some theological systems don't believe that the kingdom of God has yet begun. And that seems so sad to me. I mean, how can one endure life without having the confidence that Jesus is enthroned in heaven now, reigning over and sustaining all things, reigning over all things in heaven, reigning over all things on earth, including you and I and our life experiences? But friends, you can be confident that your Jesus sees you and cares for you and can defend you and direct you and keep you. And he's able to do that because he's enthroned in heaven right now as your ascended king who's been given all power and authority. Ephesians 2:20, he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above every rule and authority and power and dominion, and over every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. The ascension of Jesus is significant for us also, in that because Jesus has been received by the Father in heaven, we can be confident that we also will be received by the Father in heaven. John 14:1-3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus has been received by the Father in heaven. And one day, so will you and I, if we place our faith in him. And in fact, in one sense, you're already there. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. He says, you have been saved by grace. When we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. And Ephesians 2:6, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus has been raised up into the heavenly places, we can be confident that we will be also. And in fact, because of your union with Christ, in a very real sense, we are already positioned in heaven with the Father and the Son right now, in this very moment. Ephesians 2:5-6, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. And like Jesus, one day we'll be with the Lord in a glorified body of our own, and we'll live with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And what a life that will be. The ascension of Jesus, Scripture tells us, was also necessary for the giving of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The departure and the ascension of Jesus was necessary so that we might receive power from on high, the power of God's Holy Spirit given to us. Another reason that it's to our advantage for Christ to have departed this world and to ascend to his Father is so that the omnipresence of God the Son has been restored. When Christ walked this earth, he did so as one man, limited by an ability to only be in one place at a time. But because his omnipresence has been restored through his ascension, he's now immediately available to all people at all places at all times. And that's a great advantage to us. And we'll stop here for today. Next week, we're going to look again at the significance of the ascension, and we'll especially consider what all it is that Christ is doing for us right now as part of his heavenly ongoing ministry for his people. But until then, I want to encourage us to ponder Christ's ascension. Throughout this week, ponder some of these passages of Scripture that I've referenced or that you have in that handout. And ask the Lord to grow your understanding, your appreciation of the ascension and Christ's ongoing ministry. In the incarnation, Christ was made to be fully human without losing the divinity that was possessed by God the Son. And in the ascension, Christ was then glorified without losing his humanity. Jesus, as the unique God-man, has been welcomed into the presence of God in heaven. And one day so will all men and women, boys and girls who trust in him. Jesus, representing redeemed humanity, now sits at the right hand of the Father, ruling over all things. And Scripture tells us likewise in a similar way, the day will come when all who trust in Jesus will also one day share in that rule with God over his kingdom. That was God's intention at creation. But in the fall, mankind neglected the position and the mandate to subdue and rule as God's ambassadors over his creation. But Jesus is fixing that. Jesus is redeeming that. And one day, we and all of redeemed humanity will co-reign with God the Father and God the Son. We remember what was required to accomplish that. That Jesus would have to give his life to accomplish the Father's plan of redemption. But he did that joyfully, we're told in Hebrews 12:2, so that we could know the joy of our salvation. And so that we could know the joy of his resurrection. And so that we could also know the joy of his ascension. Pray with me. Lord God, today we do thank you for your ascension. Help us, Lord, to ponder that. Reveal your many glories to us. The many glories that you possess because you are now the one who has been raised up, the ascended one who is seated again at the right hand of the Father. But Lord, we do remember what came first. Your life, your perfect life that you lived as a substitute for ours, perfectly fulfilling the law of God. Lord, we remember your many sufferings, your betrayal, your arrest, the beatings, your passion on the cross. Although you are the high King of heaven, you allowed yourself to be taken into by the hands of sinful men, to suffer under them, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. But Lord, in a very real sense, no man took your life from you, but instead you freely gave it. You gave it, Lord. You poured out your blood, your precious blood, to serve as a ransom payment for our lives, for all of redeemed humanity. Lord, help us to value every aspect of your life all the more. And as you do that, Lord, may that lead us into greater worship of you. May it be said of us, as it was said of these first disciples, that they returned home with great joy and worshiped you continually. Lord, do that as we see you as the one who has been ascended up to the Father's right hand. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord now as we stand and sing our last hymn. Luke tells us that immediately prior to Jesus ascending up into heaven, he lifted up his hands and he blessed the disciples. Perhaps he said these very words of blessing, the priestly blessing from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Bless you all. Happy Mother's Day.